Welcome to the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast. Ministry Central is the official United Pentecostal Church International online resource designed to develop and enhance your ministry. Through the teaching and wisdom of experienced apostolic leaders, Ministry Central will equip you to pursue the call of God on your life. In this podcast, you will learn important principles, concepts, and ideas from apostolic leaders who are on the front lines of ministry, making a difference in their leadership and calling. I'm your host, Darren Sargent, and this is the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast. Thanks for joining. Hello, my name is Darren Sargent. I am the director of Ministry Central, and this is the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast. And I'm really, really excited today to have a great friend of mine, Dr. Eugene Wilson. Now, I don't know if I have the time, Dr. Wilson, to roll out all of your accomplishments. I just don't know if we have that opportunity. We'll run out of time, but man, thank you for joining me today. Dr. Wilson, tell us a little bit about what you do. I can go through the list, but you do it. Well, so why don't you go through the
list? Thank you. Thank you. A pleasure and an honor to be here. And I love you, my friend.
I love you, buddy.
We have a lot of fun together. So a little bit of what I do, I'm the president of Texas Bible College. I am a leadership coach and consultant. I like to write. I've served for many years in pastoral ministry, including senior pastor, most recently as executive pastor at the Pentecostals of Katy. I'm traveling like crazy now. I think I'm out like 30-something Sundays this year.
Yeah, you better be careful. Your arm will fall off. You travel as much. That's what happened to me. I just fly in circles now.
Never a dull moment with us. Anyway, that's a little bit of what I do.
Well, good. How long have you been at Texas Bible College as president?
I've just started my third year.
Okay.
Never worked so hard in all my life. I've never worked so hard in all my life. Did I say I've never worked so hard in my life?
I think you said it.
Yeah, I've never, and here's the big one though. I've never had as much fun. I am having a blast.
Well, you are on the cutting edge of leadership. We've talked a lot about leadership. I dive into leadership, consulting, coaching as well. Yeah, of course you're on another level than I am, but
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you are. We won't even go there. I'm not even gonna try to compare. I mean, number one, you got two hands, so you can clap and I can't. But you and I have talked a lot about leadership, its purpose in the local church. I've said it often. I believe God does his best work in the local church. Something about that organic grassroots church that just, it makes a difference in the kingdom.
Yes.
And your books, the things that you're written, we're going to talk about a couple of your newest releases. But tell us about, let's just go back first to what you have written without talking about these two.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about those.
So let me go back a little further than that.
Oh, we're going back. We're going way back.
In 1776.
On the ocean blue. Columbus.
A little bit more serious than that. I was raised in a pastor's home. And so this is all I've ever known. In fact, my grandfather was a Sunday school director, the UPCI, right here in Indiana District.
Oh, wow.
We're filming this right now, General Conference.
Yeah.
My dad pastors the church that my grandfather started, and it's about 30 miles north of here. It's a little farm town called Sheridan, Indiana. And so this is all I've ever known. I was raised in Indiana. I'm a Hoosier. Moved away when I was 30 years old, 29, and almost 30, to East Tennessee, and started pastoring, for all practical purposes, a home missions church.
Yeah.
And so I just repeated what I had seen before, and which is a lot of great things, but then a lot of things in leadership that was just lacking. There's someone behind me.
Go ahead. Hold on. I'm going to give this.
Is it Jason Huckabee?
It was Jerry Dean, who preached last night, just started making faces at me.
Come on now.
Give him a shout out. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I couldn't help it. He was making
faces. Now, Jason Huckabee just got a shout out, and he wasn't even in this.
He wasn't even in.
Because he usually shows up.
For those of you that may not be able to see, we have plexiglass all the way around our booth. So people are walking by, you hear the noise, and they're disrupting us. But this is a podcast, so who cares? Go ahead.
So anyway, here's the quicker version of what I'm saying, is that I didn't really know a lot about leadership. outside of what we would say is an entrepreneur stage of an organizational life cycle. And so it's everything that's dependent upon that leader. They have to make everything happen. Their vision, their work ethic, their zeal, their stick-to-itness, all those kind of things. That's all I really knew. And so when I left from pastor in East Tennessee after being there almost 7 years and moved to Memphis, I stepped into a church that was 500 plus, pushing 600, oversaw the young people and started a family ministries, which is another 150 people. So approximately about 300 or so people at that time. And all of a sudden I was exposed to things I'd never seen before. Sure. At that time I went back to school. So I said all that to say that my very first book was an attempt to help people in that journey that never got the exposure of the church of the 600. They never were able to step into a place in which that there was tremendous amount of structure. There were systems, that there were a plurality of leaders, that you would work with a pastoral team as opposed to being the pastor. Yeah. And now you got many pastors. So I'm exposed to all that. I'm studying all of that. And then I begin to write it.
Okay.
And so everything I've written has, for the most part, has flown out of that experience.
You know, I was teaching today in a cohort here to all the new ministers that have, in the last 3 or 4 years, they had a session. And I was talking about leadership demands resistance for there to be growth. And what you're saying is the growth that came through the things you endured and went through is what developed most of the content.
Yes,
we can
yes.
get a lot of stuff from education. We can get a lot of stuff from other books, but there's something about that resistance, that pressure that really builds.
Absolutely. I saw that through the things that my dad went through.
Yeah.
I saw it in what I went through and looking for answers, looking for direction. And then all of a sudden stepping into a scene where now I'm exposed to those things in a larger scale. And then backing that up with research, studies, my master's, my doctoral in strategic leadership. Man, it's been an incredible journey. I feel like I'm just getting started. I've got so many books I want to write. So I wrote Realign, and then that's required reading for your to get your general license. Yep. And then I wrote 70. That's required for ordinations. They're translated of Spanish and French, Mandarin.
Awesome.
And it's exciting. And then I came along and I wrote Leading Growth. Leading Growth has not had the buzz that Realign and 70 has. But what I found is from district superintendents and pastors of larger churches, I've gotten more buzz out of Leading Growth than any other book. Yep. They love it. And so it's a challenge and a movement back to truly leading people to growing as opposed to trying to lead an organization to grow. And so, anyway, that was fun. And then I got to looking at my life and how busy I was and trying to find purpose and align with purpose and looking back at my life and trying to stay aligned with purpose. So I wrote Rodentivity, which I made up. You know, I make up words.
You know, I've tried to figure out where that word came from. Did you make rodent?
I made it up.
Because all I see is rodent.
Yes.
Does it? I haven't read it. I apologize. Tivities. I apologize, Dr. Wilson, that I've not read Rodentivity because I thought it required me getting like a hamster.
Yes. Okay. Something. Think of a hamster. You just did your finger like.
Yeah, or wheel. They can see.
Right.
It. Yeah.
That, so
it's on YouTube.
Yes.
By the way, this is a shameless plug.
You're doing like you're not saying rewind.
Yeah.
You're saying like get on the wheel. Yeah. Okay. And you're running. Okay. And so while I'm writing this book, my working title,
this is what's fun, I can wave
at the time, was Accelerate. And Accelerate, I just waved at just nothing. Yeah. Just because you waved. No, I'm just kidding. I waved at an old classmate back from JCM days. The hamster getting on the wheel and he's running, but he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I had this mental image while I'm writing the book about being busy, but not going anywhere. And I started laughing and I thought, that's like a man getting on one of those spinning wheels. And I Googled it and found an image. And sure enough, there's a lot of these images of men running on these spinning wheels, but they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I thought, we think that to be productive,
we got to be going,
is to be busy.
Yeah.
And it's
let's talk about that for
so,
just a
minute. So, wait. Productivity.
Okay.
Rodent.
I see what you did there. So, you created a word.
Yes. To describe the definition, thinking that to be busy is to be productive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and it's true. You know, we're here at General Conference. I've already mentioned that. I can't tell you how many people I've said it to, and people have said it to me. Man, how's it going? Busy. Oh, man, I'm busy. I've said it.
Oh, I've said it.
We all say it. We're busy. One of the things that I've noticed when I pastored for 20 years in SoCal.
Is that the rapture?
I think if you're not going, somebody, if you can't hear that, somebody is blowing a shofar. And yesterday they were blowing it, and I just started jumping up and down. And the people I were with were dying because they thought, I said, I'm not moving. So anyways, hope it's not the rapture.
Oh, only you.
Yes, yes. I was just jumping up and down. I can't remember who I was.
Your arm went.
Yeah, Jimmy Tony is with Jimmy or somebody.
Your arm went.
Yeah, it went, but I didn't. But we have this tendency to think busyness is spiritual.
Right.
And
we get our validation and affirmation many times from being busy.
Yeah. Well, they're busy. When I pastored, here's what I was about to say. When I pastored, I would get people all the time. I know you're busy, Pastor.
Oh,
I know you're
I
busy,
all the time.
Pastor. I that bothered me. No, I've got time.
Yeah.
I've got time. Don't lead with I know you're busy. But my lifestyle was probably showing them that's what it was.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now you wrote, I don't know what came after Road Intivity
other Rhythm.
Than Rhythm did. Okay. So you're at five already? Five.
That
five?
Would be five, and then Difference Maker.
Difference Maker, which I want to shout out.
Yeah.
We'll talk about these in a minute. But Difference Maker is on Ministry Central as a masterclass. If you are looking for something just for your leadership team, want to take them through something, I highly recommend it. He came in, sat in our studio. I think
that was fun.
Eight courses. Eight videos in the course.
I think so.
Seven or eight videos in the course.
Thanks.
And if you see this video, no matter how long it's up on YouTube or the podcast, and you email me at dsargent@upci.org, I will send you the four Zoom sessions for free if you buy the course. It's that good. The Zoom sessions were off the chart. Those four Zoom sessions.
We had fun. Thank you.
So we're at Difference Maker, and here you come again with another book. Anything after Difference Maker besides these two? Am I missing one?
No.
Okay,
this is number eight.
We're at six.
Now.
So
yep.
I can't go that high with Difference Maker.
I'll help you out.
Thank you. Seven and eight. So you got eight books now.
Published. Yes. So there's others that are not published.
A couple others. This book here, The Spiritually Healthy Leader. You co-wrote this.
Yes.
Which I'm glad you co-wrote it with Brother Matthew Mullins, but I'm a little offended that you didn't ask me to help you. In fact, we're ending this podcast right now.
Well, let's write a new one.
Let's do it. We're doing it. We'll call it not Rodentivity, but
I'm waiting.
I'm not gonna
with
do it.
Bated
I'm
breath.
Not gonna do it. So talk to me about number one. Purpose of co-writing, which I think is a good thing to do, co-authoring. But talk to me about the purpose. What were you seeing in leadership in your travels with different churches that you're with? What were you seeing that you felt spiritually healthy leader need to be written?
Yeah, so a great question. Number one, we're really not as healthy as we probably should be. In fact, surprisingly, as I'm sitting here thinking about this and having written the book, talking with my wife just a couple of days ago, and I said, babe, are we really as messed up at times as I think we might be? And she goes, oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, myself included.
Speak to your wife.
You know?
Your wife's a counselor.
Yes.
Or working on a counseling
degree. She is. She's in the final stages of her dissertation. So she can actually be called a doctor now.
See,
but on paper, she's going to be. Candidacy, but Dr. Wilson.
Doctor.
Anyway, we have a lot of fun. It's never been, let me just say something about education. We have never pursued a degree. It's not the paper on the wall. It's not the credentials.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the learning experience.
The learning
we want to learn and we love to share, and we're not smart. We spend a lot of time and a lot of money to study one particular field.
Yeah.
So in that field, statistically, we know more than 95% of the people within the field of expertise. That doesn't mean that we're smart. We just know that particular area.
Sure.
And so anyway, my wife, she's been a major part of my life in helping me work through a lot of things. She's a great writer. I can't wait for her to get done with her dissertation. She can start writing. My next co-written book will be with my wife. Awesome. So sorry about that.
Oh, not
you're on the list, though. You're on the list.
You know, we'll get to it. It'll be a bestseller, I'm sure.
So back to the question, the spiritually healthy leader, just looking at our lives and how we had grown. We went through a lot. We were young marrieds, pastoring about 4 years later, young parents going through things, trying to deal with things within our own lives, deal with things within our own marriage. And then God has brought us a long way, and so thankful for that. And we just want to turn around and give back. But along the way, there were some things that we experienced that I just felt like, man, this needs to be shared with others.
Yeah.
And then I started talking to my friend, Matthew Mullins, who co-wrote the book. He's 20 years younger, but he's brilliant. He's way up in a major company in America. If I named the company and his position, everyone would be going like, wow. You know, I mean, he's just impressive. He's almost done with his dissertation. He's getting his doctorate. He's got 4 kids. He's pastored. He's now assistant pastor. Just a tremendous guy. So we have joined in together with my nonprofit called Equipping Leaders. So we're doing leadership coaching, consulting kind of things. And so we decided, hey, we need to write a book together. And what is something that we would like to write on, something that could help people? And man, the more that we thought about, we said, we got to write about being spiritually healthy. We struggled on how do you do that? How do you do that with one voice? His vocabulary is bigger than mine. He's a little bit more technical because of the field that he works in. He's a bivocational. My vocabulary, I'm not as technical. Trying to get that one voice was a big deal. So we worked at it. It was a blast to write. It was a lot of work to write, but it was a blast to write. So one of the cool chapters, can I share one chapter?
Absolutely.
One of the cool chapters. So spiritually healthy leader, diving into a few of the chapters, just to give you an idea. The leader's foundation talks about the authority. Where does authority come from? That's an interesting chapter because we really look at the fact that the authority has got to be the word of God. Yeah. Not our narrative, the word of God.
That's
not, in other words, not our experiences. The word of God trumps our experiences. The word of God trumps everything. And so anyway, we talk about that. Talk about the leader's guide, obeying the Lord's voice, about being spirit led. What does that look like? The leader's character, and then the leader's identity. The leader's identity. I've never seen this. It's like one of my candy sticks.
Yeah. You and me both.
Is that, can we say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it?
It's your candy stick.
Yeah, candy stick.
Yeah, it's your soapbox.
Yeah,
it's what you get up on top and shout.
Exactly.
Okay.
Can I do that right now?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I won't.
Maybe not.
Yeah, okay.
But if you want to.
It's about where do we get our affirmation from?
Yeah.
Which we touched on earlier. Our identity. Where does that come from? It should not come from what you do.
Yeah.
And yet.
That's where
as young leaders, leadership is doing. And so we're focusing very much on doing it, and we get our affirmation from that. And then God calls us to something deeper and is moving us forward to something else. And it's so difficult because we're getting the affirmation based off of what we do right now.
Okay.
And God's trying to grow us for something different, and we're not getting any affirmation off of it. So here's an example. I'm a Bible college grad. I come home, I assist my dad, I go pastor in East Tennessee, and I decide I'm gonna go back to school. Always wanted to go back to school. I go back to school. No one comes along and says, man, thank you for those papers you're writing. Thank you for reading those books. Thank you for digging deep. Thank you for these hours and hours and hours. I mean, unbelievable hours. No one thanks me for that. In fact, just a few weeks before I graduate with my doctorate, the senior pastor that I'm serving under at that time makes a statement and says, yeah, I think he's getting his doctorate in counseling, and I'm actually getting my doctorate in leadership. No one is affirming me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here I am today, and I don't mean this being like I've arrived.
No.
Here I am today, having spoke all over the place,
absolutely,
around the world, writing books, been translated, all in leadership, because that's where God was taking me to. Not that I'm something special, but God was just taking me somewhere, but I never got affirmation for that along the journey.
Wow.
My affirmation was found within what I was doing at the time.
Yeah.
And so if you can't understand that, you're going to give up on the journey because no one is affirming you.
Not everybody's going to be smacking you on the back telling you.
You got to get your affirmation from your call.
You have to. It has to come. You look at the life of Joseph. His affirmation started with his calling.
And after that, he didn't get a whole lot for a long time.
He got a lot of getting beat up.
Yeah. And you know what? Can I just say this? Because this is my new soapbox in the last year or so. And I can't get away from it. When it's all said and done, Joseph says to his brothers, he says, you meant it for harm. God meant it for good. And now notice this. Because he fulfilled the dream that he gave me that you were going to bow down before me.
No. It's not
so
what he
the dream,
to.
The call, the anointing, yeah. what God originally put places on you seems to sustain you. Yeah. It appears to me sustains you through the journey of, 17 years?
Sure.
A couple of decades
sure.
for me. Yep. I don't know how many years. Yeah. You know, a couple of decades for sure.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden when it does happen.
It's like that.
Then you say, you know what? You meant it for harm. God meant it for good. And Joseph says, for the saving of many. So, my friend, it's always bigger than what you anticipate. It's bigger than what you think.
You know, we've spent enough time together. I'm big on identity. Being born the way that I was, it has become the foundation of most of my leadership in my life, is understanding that my scripture, my go-to is Psalm 139. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't make a mistake when he made Darren Sargent. You know, extremely handsome, only one hand, very brilliant, Eugene Wilson, but not so good looking. You know, that's I'm just kidding. But that's...
I'm just going back to... I'm stuck on that handsome part.
I know you
the
are.
The arm part I get, yeah, but the handsome part...
It'll grow on you. It'll grow on you. That's what my wife said. You grew on me. You grew on me. But I think it's so important, and... man, if you're listening to this, you're watching this, go to the Pentecostal Publishing House, go to PPH website, get this book, because he just touched just a little bit. I mean, I was looking at this earlier. I think your chapter, the very beginning chapter on foundation, just in what I looked at,
wow,
is so necessary. In fact, I had an idea for what we need to do with this book,
yeah,
on Ministry Central. I'll talk to you about later. So stay tuned for that. So you write spiritually healthy leader, the chapter on identity. You've got the leader's power, the leader's mental health. That's huge.
My friend wrote that chapter for the most part.
Okay.
There are pieces I wrote, but man, he went through some things himself, and he gets very transparent in talking about as a young pastor.
Yeah.
And the weight. Oh my word! It's an incredible chapter. I wept as I read it.
The leader's success. Leader's legacy. I'm big on legacy. I know you are too. I highly recommend getting
the leader's paycheck. It's not in there.
No, you're not going
to buy the
much.
Book.
You're not going to get much. All right, let's talk about the recent book that you wrote. You wrote it by yourself. This one's unique because it's a fable.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it.
Okay.
It's called Five Reasons Churches Thrive. It's not just a leadership book with just points and principles. He's wrote this one in a unique way, and I want you to talk about it because I think it's awesome.
Ah, thank you. So there's a business leadership guy that writes books. His name's Patrick Lencioni.
Yeah,
and he writes in fables, and I've always enjoyed the fables. I think Tim Massengale wrote about growth. Let my people grow.
Yeah.
And which is a fable. He wrote that 25, 30 years ago. And so I've never really have seen any fable leadership books among us. And so I liked fables. And so anyway, going back to the beginning of this podcast, I was talking about how I was raised and then going to East Tennessee and then moving to West Tennessee and being mentored. And so I'm looking back at my life, and I remember, and this is a big deal for me, I remember the moment I'm sitting out in a car right outside the offices, and the senior pastor looks at me and says, after everything that you've experienced in life, and I'm in my mid-30s, he says, and now being on staff here for a few years, maybe in my late 30s, he says, what are the four or five things that you would take from here and you think everyone should know? And instantly, I gave him four things. And he said, what about this? And I said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And that was five. And so from that, Wow. I ended up going back to school and writing, and really, truthfully, realignment was birthed out of that. And so I'm still looking for ways to, how do I get this message out there, break it down, make it very simple. And so I decided to write a fable. I had more fun writing a fable.
So I'm taking it.
It was a blast. Those are the five things in essence.
Do you run through the life of somebody just going through it? Is that kind of?
Yeah, it's me.
It's you.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But it's, well, you know, of course it's not.
Yeah.
It didn't happen exactly like that.
You got some.
I'm John in that book.
Nice to meet you, John. I'm here.
Yeah, nice to meet you. In the book.
Well, it's sitting on my to-do list to read.
It was a blast to write.
I can't wait.
Now, I have to say, the reason I even said Patrick Lencioni is because some people are going to think, man, that doesn't sound like a real true story. It's very simple. It's simple writing. It's simple. It's easy. It's easy to read story.
These are books that will. I don't know if you ever read Self-Deception.
I've got to get it. Someone told me about it yesterday. Book. Everybody keeps telling me about it.
Trying to think of the name of it, but
The Gold Giver, I think, is another one. I love that.
Like 3 feet from gold. Course,
the what?
You read that? 3 feet from gold.
I thought you said 3 teeth of gold.
No, that's a. Never mind.
The back part of the book, though, I haven't read that one. But the back part of the book, the last 30%, 25% is practical application.
Very cool.
And so fable up front, application on the back end.
Dr. Wilson.
Man, it's fun.
It's always a treat.
Do we have to stop?
I don't know if we do. I mean, we can keep going and just talking. I mean, what else we got to do? You know? We could just keep going.
You could go buy me something to eat.
Let's go eat.
Let's go eat.
But there's another podcast coming in after you, so that's why. But if you are a leader, number one, in some way and somehow connect with Dr. Wilson, how can people connect with you?
Well, if you forget everything else, try TBC, Texas Bible College. I'm president there. But also my nonprofit is called Equipping Leaders. So equippingleaders.org.net.
It's one of those.
It's one of those.
Equippingleaders.org, I think it is.
Yes, I think it's what it is. Equippingleaders.org. You can contact me through that. And there's so many different ways. Look me up in the manual.
Social Security number is? No.
Social Security number. 665-423-8239. My phone number is? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, this has been fun, my friend.
Thank you, man. We'll do more of these.
I love it. Appreciate you. I'm ready to do it right now.
Yeah.
Can we just
We'll just take it out there and just do our own.
There we go. All right.
But
God bless, man.
Appreciate you much, and thank you for your time. If you're watching this, get every one of his books. Start with Spiritually Healthy Leader. Get Five Reasons Churches Thrive. Realign. Difference Maker. Check that out as a master class on Ministry Central. And, there's a lot of ways to
connect. Let's write the book together.
Thank you for joining. God bless.
All right. Dude.
That was awesome.
I love doing that.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast. To learn more, visit us at ministrycentral.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please take a moment, help us by sharing and subscribing to this podcast. May God richly bless you. We will see you in the next episode of the Ministry Central Leadership Podcast.